This is the Producers Podcast,
featuring the most respected international talent in the world of audio production and voiceover.
TV, radio, film, and more.
In-depth interviews and industry insights, putting you on the inside.
Learn more at ryandreen.com.
The Producers Podcast
with Ryan Dreen.
And the final episode of 2018. I am a little delayed, but, you know, it wouldn't be my podcast if I wasn't basically missing deadlines and being late with the episodes. However, this one I think is worth the wait, and I'm so excited to have. I've already conducted the interview as I'm speaking this intro. It was a blast. It was a long one, but I was like, I'm not going to let this thing end until they tell me to stop. And so we got a lot of good content out of the group of guys, the seven-man team that produce Capital and Capital Extra in London. I introduce all of them individually in the show, so I won't do that again here, but I do want to give another big thank you to Ashley Bard, head of production, who did, like, went way above and beyond to help me get this episode put together. I mean, we sort of talked about it for a long time, and then maybe a month ago we were going back and forth on it, but then I finally was like, hey, December, can we do this? And he's like, I'll make it happen, right after their Jingle Bell Ball too, so it's awesome. He gave me a huge scoped demo of the Capital brands for you. It's just amazing work. There's a reason it's one of the biggest brands in the world. It's amazing imaging production, imaging work there. And then we will get into the interview, the last of 2018, with the massive and brilliant team from Capital and Capital Extra in London.
Capital Reports, I'm Ashley Carroll.
This is Capital.
From Global.
3, 2, 1.
London's number one hit music station.
Here we go. Hey!
The next few songs are like a conversation with an ex. Halsey, Without Me, Sweet But Psycho, and now Thank You Next.
The UK's biggest Christmas party. Capital's Jingle Bell Ball. With Coca-Cola.
Jingle Bell Ball!
2 days to go.
It's sold out.
Keep it Capital to win your way in and see Little Mix.
It's massive.
David Guetta.
I still remember when I played. It was so crazy.
Plus.
This is Rita Ora.
It's Jason Derulo.
I'm Ellie Goulding.
This is Liam Payne.
This is Anne-Marie.
This is Jess Glynn.
This is Sonny Myers.
It's Zara Larsson.
It's Sigala.
This is Cheryl.
I'm really grateful to be invited to come back. It's such a blessing.
Capital's with Coca-Cola.
Capital. Hey guys, I'm Halsey. Capital.
Capital.
Found you when your heart was broke.
Hey, yo, Capital, it's your fault.
I am David Guetta.
So you're Becky G.
Capital.
Capital.
Jiggle up your body, jiggle up your sing sing.
Hey, this is Ariana Grande on Capital.
Capital.
Thought I'd end up with shine.
Capital Extra.
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 Capital Extra.
12 o'clock and the party's getting louder.
Capital
Extra.
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 I gotta protect my heart.
This is Capital Extra.
From Global. Capital Extra.
Let's go.
Capital Extra.
This
is
Capital Extra.
This is Capital Extra.
From Global.
Let's go.
Let me see your hands in the air.
Show me that I'm who I am. Capital Extra.
And there it is, a sample of audio of some of the brilliance from Capital in the UK. The team behind Capital and Capital Extra, the entire imaging production team, joins me today. And I think I'm just going to start by saying, wow. And thank you so much.
It's awesome to be on here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thanks, man.
If you're looking at the website, I got a great picture from you guys. I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, I have the entire team, at least everybody in that picture. So top left, Jonathan Young, Ed Rummins, Ashley Bard, Dan Hill, Sam Wickens, and then on the bottom, Luke Pryor and Chris Longman. Did I get everybody?
You got
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
All right.
All seven of us are here.
Before I dive too far in, Ashley, I wanted to say thank you. I've been trying to get this episode put together for a long time, and we messaged about it here and there. But then just recently I was like, hey, can we do it, you know, like now? and you were like, yeah, I'll make it happen. And you put a lot of work into this for me. I just wanted to say an extra special thank you.
That's right. I'll be
for making that happen. Nice. The rather overpaid PA. All right. You guys were just coming off your Jingle Bell Ball, the Capital Jingle Bell Ball.
That's it, yeah, Capital's Jingle Bell Ball.
So this is why it's also a crazy time, because I'm getting this interview put together. We're taking up one of your major studios, and we got the whole team there. But we're just really moments after that. What size of an endeavor is that for you guys compared to everything else that happens throughout the year?
Massive. We do them twice a year. We've got Capital's Jingle Bell Ball with Coca-Cola, and then we've also got Capital's Summertime Ball. The Jingle Bell Ball is two nights, 32,000 people across two nights. On the Saturday night, we had 10 artists. On the Sunday, we had 11. And then at the Summertime Ball this year, we had 20 artists, 80,000 people at Wembley Stadium.
Okay. And the Jingle Bell Ball is at O2? Did I?
That's right, yeah, the O2.
Okay. I don't want anyone to feel left out here, and anyone can jump in, but as far as the amount of production that goes in to an event like this for not only a station, but a network of stations, anything bigger, short of the summer show, but anything bigger than this? Is this as big as it gets?
Does anyone else want to answer that?
As far as the time, yeah, anyone can jump in.
I would say it's the biggest thing we do in my short time here. It's been the biggest project we've all contributed to at one time as well. I mean, Dan will tell you the size of the spreadsheet he puts together.
Dan loves a Google Doc.
Yeah.
He's like the Google Doc king.
I thought of something bigger, actually.
Oh.
Oh, here we go. It's a challenge.
Station rebrand.
Oh, yeah. We don't like to talk about that.
Okay. Anybody that's been through something like that knows what a station rebrand is, especially... Wait, we're talking a station rebrand for all of Capital?
Yeah, exactly. So if we change the voiceover, it's every single piece of production from the bottom to the top has to be changed. And usually it's not done over a long period. It's done over a week or two, shall we say. Capital Extra was the quickest that we did. We managed to do that in just over a week, I believe. A week and a half, 2 weeks. That was a very quick turnaround.
And that's quite literally just making a decision to rebrand, but changing the voice, thus taking old voice off everything, takes you about a week to clean out all the elements?
A week working every hour of the day, yeah. It's every branded intro has to be changed on the entire playlist. You know, we can't afford to have some throwback come on and hear an old VO, you know. It's a big project. It's a stressful one, but you know, we all love to do it, and it's quite a proud moment when it goes to live and you go, wow, look at that achievement in such a short amount of time.
Let me go through the list here. This is something I wanted to do. I want to hear everything about everyone, but give me like 60 seconds each at most and tell me real quick, first gig in radio, where you were before Capital, which might be the same thing, and how you got to Capital. So say your name, say kind of how you started, where you were before Capital, and then how you got to Capital. Start with Jonathan.
Hi. So I started at a local radio station called KMFM and was doing Comprod, S&P, and Imogen there for about 5 years. And then I moved up to Manchester onto the Bauer network, so Key 103, okay. Radio City, and stations like that, and was part of the team there for about 3 years. Then moved back to Kent and found my way to Capital. And it was a bit of a fluke how I got here, I think. But I'm here now.
And how many on the team, Ashley, did you bring onto the team? I actually don't know this.
Four.
Okay. Because I had...
Done.
Okay, that's cool.
Three.
Jonathan.
we were all just giving each other the eyes, and then I was editing that. It's actually three.
So who'd you try to take credit for, and you didn't?
You tried to take credit for Dan.
Dan.
Yeah. Okay, there we go.
It was a bit much.
Oh,
no.
Okay, cool.
Dan,
I'm right. still here.
Get him off. Get him off.
Cringing in the background.
Just about.
Throw him off the phone.
Nice. Ed Rummins, what's your story?
Yeah, so, well, I've been at Capital forever now.
I've been here for so long.
Coming up to 7 years. So I started doing all the small radio stations, hospital, then uni radio, then small community stations, then Ministry of Sound Radio, which was an internet station, and then I got a job at Bauer doing scheduling, which was completely wrong. And
I wouldn't advise anyone to see that.
Oh, you got to police yourself.
Just slammed off cut an that entire department.
Yeah, cut that bit out.
And then, I applied for a job here. It was Chris Nicol that took me on. I think you know him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so he took me on like back in 2012. And then, just been here ever since. Part of furniture now.
Yeah, right. Ashley hasn't thrown you out yet, I guess.
Not yet.
Come close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still tight.
All right, Dan. Dan's on the phone, right? I don't know what he'll sound like when we put this out, but I guess he'll sound like he's on the phone. It's all right.
No, he's recording his end.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I've got a mic set up here.
Professional here, never mind. Professionals, you know.
Forget I said that.
Just for you.
Edit point. All right, Dan Hill. What's your story?
I actually was a street team member for about 2 or 3 years. So the guys and the girls that you go and see out, that go and get go and get your free car stickers and all that sort of stuff. So I feel like I kind of worked up a little bit from that. I applied for a job, didn't get it at first, but I went and did some work experience, managed to blow them away from that because I already had some Pro Tools experience. And then about 2 years later, that was at Free Radio, by the way, in the West Midlands, so the Birmingham station and all those lot. Mm-hmm. I then applied for this job at Capital, managed to land it, and then a year later I managed to land the senior role, which is insane, really.
Nice, excellent. Sam Wickens, real quick before you start, do you ever grab your belt, go up to the roof in your tidy whities and just stand there and bask in the sun and show everybody what you've done and what they have not done? Do you ever do that?
I've only brought it in once because I was.
You did
told
bring it
to,
in,
yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Nice. This will be the best episode
I've only
ever.
It once and. You know, I didn't want to shout about it too much. But
shut up.
Yeah. He absolutely loved it, right? Here's a story for you. So when he won, he was like, I've won. And he was trying to make it like it wasn't a big deal. And I was like, you bring it into work. I don't want to bring it into work. I was like, you bring it in. Anyway, we have a weekly meeting and we made one whole segment him. We made him walk to the front in front of the entire floor, put it in the air and everyone cheered him. I think it was the highlight of his career so far.
Yeah, it was a big deal, but I don't know. I don't bring it in. No, I've got it at home. Keep it nice and safe. You know, I polish it every day.
Oh, yeah. Right. Maybe
keep
twice
it nice
a day.
Keep it nice and clean. When I've got to give it back to someone next year. Who knows?
You know what I'm thinking? I actually have not recorded the intro yet as we talk right now. Just in case I wasn't clear about this, the Benstown Iron Imager, you were the winner in 2018. Just in case this is becoming an inside joke to some people listening. So that's what we're referring to. But you get a big old belt like World Wrestling. I don't even know. It doesn't matter. Congratulations, Sam. It's actually a pretty big deal to win that. Though I wish you would have been strutting around the building there. Multiple days wearing it.
I mean, although it's a belt, it's actually not practical to hold up your trousers, so I don't tend to wear it for that.
it's a decorative belt. All right, Sam, tell us a little bit about you on a serious note, where you're from and how you got there.
I had a huge bit of luck getting in here. I came out of uni, I did an audio degree for about 6-7 months. I tried my hand at live sound and post-production and just volunteering at places, and radio was ironically at the bottom of my list to do, but I picked up a job at a music magazine and I despised it. I did telesales, like phone calls to people to buy a magazine, and it was awful. And
Ah, so it's you that used to call me up.
Yeah, right.
My boss there at the time, he wasn't a great guy, let's just say that. And he wasn't very encouraging when I said to him about, you know, I want to work in audio somehow. And that was kind of nail in the coffin. So I probably shouldn't say this, but I will. I took their contacts that they had. They had quite a few contacts in the industry. And Siobhan, who works on events here, was one of them. And so I wrote her a letter because no one was replying to my emails. And I thought I'd have to be the tea boy here, which I was happy to do. So I put a tea bag in that letter and said, the first one's on me. And fortunately, Siobhan doesn't sit too far from where Ash is, so she passed it on to him. Ash invited me in and I did an internship. And a few months later, I got a job. So
nice. That's cool.
Crazy ton of events, really.
Stuff like that has come up on the show before on how to get noticed, and that's just one of probably many examples of doing something different, be different to get noticed, right?
Yeah, I mean, I sent out about 60, 70 letters, you know, and I only had a few replies. But
all with tea bags on.
Yeah, a lot of tea bags. it took me a while to get some replies, and I had to do a lot of chasing, but in the end it worked out, so yeah, it was pretty good.
I just wanted to make it clear. I'm happy you guys kept yourself in check there because there's a lot of teabag talking, but we kept it G-rated. So I just want to say I'm happy for that. Luke Pryor, what's up? What's your deal?
So I did a contemporary music production degree. Came out of there, didn't know what the hell to do. So that was obviously doing stuff in the studio, you know, actually recording bands and things like that.
No, we actually do bands.
So hadn't even considered radio, really. Came out, didn't really know what to do. Got involved with a local community radio station, actually being a show producer. But obviously on a community station, that involves doing all the producing, audio, imaging, as well as everything else that goes with it. Quite enjoyed it. And then, applied for a job. You know, I just thought, oh, why not? Applied for a job at Capital. Subsequently didn't get it. But then just, I had that email address. So I then kept bugging the managing editor here and, you know, calling him, emailing him, saying, when can I come in and meet you? And eventually he gave in about 4 months later. Got a cheeky little Saturday job here and then kept forcing my way in further. Ended up doing some work experience on the imaging team and luckily enough, after a long while, they hired me.
Nice. Excellent. Chris Longman.
Hey. I interned, well, I student radio, all that, and then I interned at Heart Sussex for a bit, and then I interned here at Capital because Ryan Arnold, who used to work here, he was my mate. And then he persuaded Chris Nicholl to get me in. So I interned here for a bit. I applied for a job and Chris wouldn't give it to me. So I went to Heart Swindon, did a bit with them. And then in 2015, after about 8 months, Capital gave me a job here. And I've been here for like three and a bit years.
Nice.
Yeah.
Before I get to Ashley, of everybody else I just talked to, who's been there the longest? I know 7 years was one number I heard, but
Ashley takes that title, I think.
Well, it depends. Longest at Capital would be Ed, but longest at Global would be myself.
Okay, so Ed is the longest of the team, not including Ashley.
That's right.
Yeah. Capital.
Yeah.
He gets that crown.
Ashley, though, you've been at Global longer, but you tell me your story, though. The whole deal, the whole story.
So I started in radio when I was 14. I wasn't really good at school, to be honest. I was more into being a geek, and that for me was visiting my local radio station every day after school. Started work experience. I went in, I loved it. I got the vibe of, you know, watching the desk and stuff. The drive time presenter at the time, Kevin Kane, made the biggest mistake of his life and said, you're keen, come back whenever you want. So I went back in every day for 2 years. Basically, they got sick of me. They couldn't get rid of me. And they said, we may as well start paying you. I was loading the songs, making the teas, doing all of that, and basically created myself a role.
Where was that? I don't know if I missed.
So that was at Gemini FM in Devon, which is part of Global, but many years ago. So it was a company called GWR. Then they merged and became GCAP. I moved to the network, which used to be the network in Bristol, and worked with some greats there. And then I was either made redundant or moved to London when Global came in, and I took the option when I think I was about 17 or 18 and moved to London. And I've been here. I moved to Heart originally. I worked at Heart as S&P producer and a little bit of imaging. And then I moved across to Capital, started on Capital as just an audio producer, swiftly moved to senior. And then when Chris left in January 2016. I filled in for him, and then I got the role of head of production officially 2.5 years ago. Yeah, so that means I've been here for 14 years.
Ooh. Oh, wow. Okay. That's
half my life.
That's a while.
Half my life.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, when you start at the age of 14 in radio, you can have a long career and still be in your 20s. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Nice. You guys have a great team there. Now, just so I don't want to leave anybody out, is the entire team here with us? Was there anybody that's not? Oh, that's great. Because I think the last time there ended up being a couple people that just couldn't be on the interview.
Yeah, including myself.
In fact, yeah, I was just going to say, in fact. Anyway, but I'm glad we got everybody. I don't know how to get this asked without it kind of, without the wheels falling off, but as far as all of the responsibilities that go into producing station sound for Capital, every station on the network, Capital Extra, how is that broken up? I don't know if there's an easy way to answer that with a team this size and the property that massive.
So we do have a bit of a structure. The fair thing is, you know, is that everyone enjoys imaging. That's black and white, you know, so everyone does do imaging. We are a commercial station, so everyone has to do commercial as well. So everything's pretty much divvied up like that. So I'm head of production. We've got Dan, who's senior. We've then got John. We've got Ed. And we've got Chris Longman, who's audio producers, and then we've got Sam and Luke, who are the assistants. But everyone gets their fair share in the mix, but there's a lot of projects. So, for example, when it's the Jingle Bell Ball, you know, we do a lot of the visual stuff that's evenly shared out to a degree. We've got the on-air production that's shared out as well. So, you know, I certainly wouldn't say there's favoritism, but there's certainly leadership roles, should we say.
Would it be safe to say that more of the commercial work is to maybe the younger guys, or something that the more senior guys wouldn't want to put as much time into? Or is that not a fair statement?
I think we all fight over imaging. We all want to do the imaging. And if there's a cool project coming along, you put your name forward to it, and it depends what kind of mood Ashley's in, and he'll give it to you. But with like commercials, it depends on the level of project you work on. Sometimes the earlier at Capital, the longer it takes to get like a big network campaign to work on. Sometimes you do a trail that will run across the entire network of all the stations we have. As where sort of the earlier days of your career here, you do more like, oh, you're doing a promo in Birmingham and you're doing a promo in Manchester, and it's more tags, more things like that. And you sort of work your way up, but then you always get a chance to do network stuff, and you always get a chance to do imaging. So it's just delegation, really.
Yeah. I mean, you know, to be brutally honest, you know, when we took Sam and Luke on, their experience was next to nothing. You know, they knew how to work Pro Tools, but they didn't really get imaging. So, you know, you inevitably are going to start with the easier projects, sure. But very quickly, as you would have heard from the audio showreel at the beginning, those guys now, who've only been here for a very short amount of time in radio, you know, are making some of the best stuff on the station. And, you know, I was going to say, you know, that's how all of us get better, is by wanting to beat each other.
Yeah, it is pretty competitive. It's a healthy competition.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It definitely drives each other. Like, we'll hear something and we'll think, who made that? And we'll think, wow, that's great. Like, sometimes, especially when I first started as well, and I'd hear something on the station, I'd say, how did you do that? Because I didn't know how it was done.
I think that's one of the most exciting things, when you hear something that one of teammates make, and then you're like, I don't even know how they made that. And then you're trying to find out what it is, and you're trying to discover it. And then they were like, hey, and then you learn a couple of new tricks. And then suddenly you're a better producer because your team made you just by what they learned.
And then that just happens every day. And then before you know it, you've been here for a while.
I think we've all now made a lot of time to go and talk to each other as well and find out how we're doing stuff.
Yeah.
And you know, what tricks we're kind of doing and that you hear. And it's so good as well, and especially we're doing script writing as well, where we can all sit down and brainstorm over a big campaign. Like, if we have got a network promo that's going out and you want to make it as creative as possible, you on your own sometimes are not going to come up with the best ideas. So we just bounce off each other quite well, I think.
But you're not going to come up with those big ideas unless you have a big campaign to work on. So if you're working on something that you think is quite small fry, you're not going to waste all of your time to come up with something that's incredible, because it doesn't need to be for that particular campaign. But if you've got a big network campaign, a massive Coca-Cola trail to work on or something like that, something high priority, then you think, I need to go nuts on this.
Yeah, step your game up.
Yeah.
Something I want to make sure I hit on. I didn't actually say the full scope of what you guys do correctly in the very beginning. Don't worry, I'll fix it in post. But there's a visual element. There's always a visual element. Are you guys all capable of producing the visual component to what you guys do, or are you working with others that help with the visual component?
No, this one of my strongest opinions in the fact that we are audio experts. Therefore we should be doing the audio. We don't do the video cuts. There's a whole video team for that. But for me, it's a personal, you know, priority that we manage the audio. We as a brand want the audio to be the best quality it can. We are the professionals in that field. Therefore, I feel like we should do it. Therefore, we do. So, you know, the Jingle Bell Ball openers, you know, Dan does them and does a great job at them. The artist intros, the team help with that. But at the same time, everyone gets their fair share of visuals. I don't think there's one person in this room or on the phone that hasn't actually done it.
And we're literally talking about opening some kind of a video editing program and using that, right?
No,
not at all. So so we've got a video team, you know, like if there's an Instagram video or if we're doing recently we did a campaign with Smirnoff where one of our presenters was celebrating women in media and stuff like that. And basically they will cook down the video file, send it to us and we'll do a total mix on it. So that means processing the VO, putting in Foley if it needs it. When that, for the Global Awards that I did recently, when that star swooshes, I'm making the whoosh to match it perfectly. And it's basically, you know, when you look at that, it's about bringing it to life. We're called imaging producers because, you know, when you close your eyes, we're creating that image in your mind and we only have sound to do it. And what we have here is the, you know, the luxury of having a visual, and it excites us all because it's different. So when you look at the visual, you need to look at the visual and work out what is this sound. And then by doing that, you can... By looking at the visuals, then you can work out, you know, what sound this needs to be.
So what percentage of what you guys do is strictly a piece of audio production or producing audio for picture?
Audio only. Like, that's all we'll do, but then it's across the whole brand. Anything Capital do and anything that has a sound to it, we'll make.
And, I mean, in recent times, there's been a lot of online stuff that has taken off, you know, like videos for the Instagram page, Twitter, the website, so we haven't done a lot of audio for that as well.
So yeah, I guess what I'm asking is how much of your time is spent on audio that will never be put to picture, because in this day and age that's becoming less and less, or audio that will be put to picture where you are producing audio to some kind of video?
And it depends.
Digital's still a bit of a minority in terms of my workload. Like, I say like 80%, and that's being nice, is like on radio, and or just purely an audio product only. And then 20%, like, oh, we've got a video to make for a promotion we're doing.
Yeah. Well, and the reason I ask is because clearly we have the video component to everything in the world. You know, everything's content and everything pretty much wants some kind of video. So I could see that percentage to keep changing, right? Probably is continually shifting where more and more things that you make will have some sort of a visual component.
I would agree, because, I mean... A couple of years ago, we had Capital TV, you know, so we were doing a lot for that. Now that has actually closed down with the shift towards, you know, people viewing stuff online. So it's sort of transitioned towards us doing audio for online videos. And, you know, I imagine it will change in the future as well, and we'll be doing audio for video in some other way. So it's always evolving.
But we could pick up audio to work on Instagram posts that, because of the turnaround on Instagram posts, it's quite instant for social media. Yeah. You know, we could take that on, but we'd have to figure out a way how to do that quickly, I'd say.
Let me switch gears.
Can I just quickly jump back to
go ahead, please.
A little bit? So I know we don't, even though we don't edit the video, actually, we have quite a lot of creative input. So say, for example, we've got a track. I mean, we're doing it to a track. But actually, the edit that they've given us doesn't allow for us to do that to the best of our ability. We can always push back and say, actually, do you know what? You need to add a bit of time here. You need to add a certain amount of frames here so that, you know, it matches up. Because at the end of the day, it's a radio product. It needs to sound the best it possibly can. So if you're, you know, you're chopping halfway through a track where it doesn't make sense, or where there's where, you know, you're expecting an extra beat or two, there's quite often a lot of creative leeway, and especially with things like Summertime Ball and Jingle Bell Ball, but it has to just, it has to be spot on. It can't be a shoddy job. So even though we're not making that video edit ourselves, we're actually then actively pushing back and saying, no, you need to do this to make it sound right. And, you know, more often than not, it will happen.
Is it a safe statement here to say that Global, or at least Capital, still considers itself an audio company? And then we also have some video components to our work. Is that the feeling in the building
Global,
or within the company?
Global is a media company. It's certainly the biggest in the UK in terms of commercial. You know, it's not just radio anymore. You know, we have, obviously we have digital, we have advertising, we have outdoor advertising, you know, out of home advertising. We've just taken on three massive outdoor, out of home media companies. So we are huge, you know, we are a media company that focuses on radio. We started on radio. That is where the heart is, but it's more than that now. It's grown massively and it will continue to grow.
So it'd be fair to say that Global as a company isn't an audio company first, it's a media company first. Capital as a brand, is that still very much considered, at least in the building within your team, an audio brand first?
Yeah, I would agree with that, you know, but obviously we haven't just got Capital here, as you're aware, you know, we have many
sure.
different brands. But absolutely, yeah, you know, it's radio and that's what we do.
I think it needs to be focused as it's a 360 yeah. brand. So like if you speak to the digital team, they'll be like, absolutely not. Like it's not. It'll be, they'll think, no, it's a digital brand. We're pushing bigger numbers than probably the radio station are. So it's an argument that will probably continue to be quite continuous. But it needs to come back to what the radio station is, because that's, like Ash said, the heartbeat of it all. So it's 360, it has everything as a product, but then it focuses back to what the radio station is always doing.
And that's kind of what I was getting at. And so the feeling is that maybe depending on who you ask, it used to be a radio station. And then over time, obviously it's evolved and we have more of a media, you know, entity. But radio first, but maybe less of that, and it's trending away from that. Is that a fair statement?
I think with like the audience, with the, like the social media side of things has taken over their lives, but the main focus from everyone else is like radar results and everything else. So that comes down to what's going on the output and what's happening on the radio, and that's down to presenters and us. So, you know, the social media, digital side of stuff does fall into that. But it doesn't fall into our category until it has to.
And it all ties in together as well. If you're someone listening to Capital using the app, or someone listening to whichever global brand via the app, they all link to the website, and you know, there's things that you can tap on and click through to, and you know, look at this Instagram post and whatever. Everything's, like Chris said, everything's 360 linked together. That's the kind of brand that I think every brand in this building is becoming, you know. The digital and radio side is all kind of fusing together and helping one another.
Yeah, so we're kind of like team Capital as opposed to just team audio. Like, for example, if we have a great idea for something, but it might be best if it lives online, then you can go and approach the digital team, and if it's worth taking to that platform, then they will. The same thing if they have an idea for a mashup, for example, they can bring it to us and it might live on a, you know, during the show. So it's very much so everyone's involved.
But for example,
to pull together.
You know, the development in our tech is so in advance. So for example, if you're listening on the app and the presenter is talking about some content, if they're saying, they can immediately say, go on website, check this out. On your phone right away will be a link that will pop up to go and check that out, what that presenter's just spoken about.
Because of the mic break, quote unquote, that they just did. So if they talk about some specific event, and because they're talking about it right then and there.
Yeah, they have the ability to create that link as part of the 360 connection.
The presenter does.
Yeah, on my Capital app. And there's my Capital Extra as well, and there's others.
Yeah.
Global Fire.
That seems really cool to me. I don't know if that's something that's ubiquitous with all radio stations and their app, but that seems really cool and pretty unique to me.
Yeah, it definitely is. It's something that we're incredibly proud of, and we
I think should be.
We put it in priority. We make sure that every presenter is on top of it. And it's something that we're massively proud of. And the company has put a lot of effort into making it work. And it's doing great. Yeah. So we've got this one app called Global Player. And every brand is on it, including podcasts.
Yeah. Let me talk about this. I don't want to let this one slip away. The difference between Capital Extra and Capital, the main brand. What are the different things you do to approach each one differently? The mentality, do you have a visual of your target listener for each brand? Can you describe some of the ways you approach them?
I think it's pretty clear in the music, and we base our imaging around the music on those stations. So, for example, you know, Capital is very chart, very CHR, playing the obviouses like your Ariana Grande, your Shawn Mendes, Clean Bandit, Zara Larsson, Cheryl, just to read a few on the screen. Whereas your Capital Extra is focusing more on, you know, your Drake tracks and stuff like that. And therefore, we reflect our production to coincide with that.
Is there anybody on the team that might be doing more for Capital Extra because of their skill set or because of their age or because of whatever versus the other? Or do you all do even amounts for everything?
I manage the branded intros for Capital Extra because they're very different how they're made from the Capital ones. They're a lot quicker. There's no additional drops like concert drops or artist drops. It's literally Capital Extra name and, you know, go crazy on the effects, I think, and see what you can come up with in the shortest amount of time. And it's kind of worked for them because it just means that they can get into tracks quicker, their segues can sound a lot tighter. And so, yeah, I wouldn't say I work more on extra stuff, but I take that on.
I think Capital will always be the beast for us.
Yeah.
I think when we're doing a rebrand on Capital Extra, we're like, right, that's going to be a week on Capital Extra. And that'll probably be all we do that week. But then we'll still be like, there's still like a commercial trail we need to make for Capital in that time. There's still a load of this for Capital we've got to do in that time. But like extras will be our focus point that week. But that'll be like 1 week every 6 months probably.
You know, I mean, typically I would say, you know, it's R&B, grime, hip hop, you know, whereas that's not Capital's primary playlist.
Right.
I
mean, if
you're a US, it'd be rhythmic, you know?
The demographic audience is still the same though, pretty much. You know, it's like 16 to 34s. That's the type of listener that listens to these stations.
Yeah. As far as it was kind of interesting you were saying there about the rebrand. So if Capital gets a rebrand, you're saying it's not just going to be a week and we can focus on other stuff too. That's going to be a much larger endeavor. There's more importance placed on that. Is that a true statement?
I think there's more riding on it. I think there's more people in the building and that we need to get things approved for to get on Capital. As we're Capital Extra, we're quite lucky that there's a lot more freedom and a lot of ideas you can get on the radio without really running it by anyone.
And it's a newer station.
It's a newer station.
They're more open to new ideas and trying new things and allowing us to bend and break rules because that's part of their sound in a sense. You know, it sounds a bit broken and lo-fi and kind of glitchy, and we're allowed to kind of bend rules that way when we're producing stuff.
It's also a smaller station as well, so there is a little bit more scope to do that, whereas with Capital, there's so much input, you know, so many people with different opinions, and that can sort of sometimes hinder things a little bit.
Yeah, there's more jeopardy if you get something wrong on Capital, I think.
Yeah.
For those of you that produce for both, you know, let's say a similar promo or a series that would run on both, is there less stress when you're making stuff for Capital Extra because you feel like you've got more room to stretch your legs and also there's less ears that are going to have to be on it and approve it? Or is that just not a true statement?
I find it more difficult, but that's just me personally. I think with the sort of production packages, the sound effects that we use for it, I struggle more to use than I would say the Capital ones.
I would say it's a little bit more technically like complex, like the sounds you have to create with the music. That can be
You can't just go back to oh well, there's a gap, I'm going to put a drop in. You got to then actually go, okay, well, what effect can I use here to try and make this time sound like it's not just a waste of time?
I find that more fun though. I think it's not as restrict. Like Capital, there's a format. It's a format that we've stuck to. It's developed over the years, but we have a format and you have to do it that kind of certain way.
You're more boxed in, more boxed in.
I think so, but I think that's what makes the brand so great and so consistent, is that it is that way. With Capital Extra, because it's growing, we're still kind of really finding what the brand is. It's on its feet now, but there's been times where you think, oh, wait, this brand's always being pushed and we're the ones pushing it. So when you're making something for Capital Extra, you can kind of go mental and then you can spend half an hour and just finding a sound that you've never stumbled across.
Yeah, you can.
And then that's what makes it so fun. So I wouldn't say just because there are less ears on it, maybe, I still think we all look at the way that if we're making something for the radio, it still has to be as good for Capital One, for Capital Extra.
Yeah, and I totally agree on that. It's very important for me to make sure that we are the best that we possibly can sound, but at the same time, we can't afford for there to be crossover between the two brands. Yeah. And therefore I'm constantly changing the guidelines, as it were. Like, for example, on Capital at the moment, we're on a bit of a tuning ban. Because when I listen around to other stations in the marketplace, everyone's tuning and we have tunes, but sometimes it can be overdone. So right now, it's putting all about putting blocks in place to shake it up, really. What can you do differently to do something else?
Yeah. Yeah, I've been doing this podcast long enough where it wasn't being done at all when I started, and then it became a pretty massive trend, but there were, people that were doing it well, and then everybody was doing it, and now you're saying it's time to switch gears.
Yeah.
It's time to...
Absolutely, it can be overdone, it can be overdone. You only got to scroll through SoundCloud to hear everyone's doing it. Some people obviously do it better than others, but,
clearly.
I think you can do it cleverly, though, so there's... There's the obvious, the obvious approach, but then there's the not so obvious approach. And actually, do you know what? It's time to question maybe if you're falling back on that trick because you know it works.
Yeah.
Could you not lose it, but perhaps do it a different way? Could you stick it on a delay? Could you, just use it in the background so that actually it just comes, in the very, very bottom end, in the very sort of quiet end, subtle end of your production, because it doesn't always have to be the forefront thing. It could be, it could be helping you sort of layer your bit, and actually it could be that little bit of butter in between the two slices of bread.
Lovely little bit of butter.
I think that as well, like where we can do stuff a lot less on Extra and where we are coming up with using more of the effects. You can then transcend that over to Capital and maybe, not go as hard or dumb it down a little bit. But then that replaces the tuning aspect of it. So instead of sitting there thinking, well, what do I do now? Instead of, hard tuning this vocal, you've actually got a trick that you've used somewhere else and you can apply it to there.
I find if I do something on Capital and I overdo it, which sometimes happens because, you've got all your tricks and you want to throw them into one promo or one brand intro, and then you've been told to pull it back a bit. I might reflect on something I did for Extra where I thought out of the box, so I tried to do a trick in a different way, or I'm trying to use a particular piece of sound design or a channel in a different way just so I can kind of work my way into it. And there's a lot of things between both brands where I've learned something and I take it onto the other one and vice versa.
Because I've thought of a few things that I didn't write down. I wasn't going to get too much in the weeds on some of the real techie and the sound stuff, but people are going to want to know what audio tools, and to start, I'm talking about like effects libraries and beds and anything like that. What are you guys using there? How much do you make yourself, and how many, what types of packages do you buy or subscribe to, that kind of thing?
So we have two packages on Capital. We have Noise Fusion, which is composed by Ben Needle.
Ben's the man. Yeah, past podcast guest.
Good lad, good lad. we also have a bespoke package, which is Sound X Capital, which was made for us, which is awesome. In terms of making our own sounds, I would say so, yes, but not very often. I'll let Dan take over. He's got a few of his own websites that he's a big fan of.
Yeah, so I download quite a lot of stuff off Splice. I'm kind of a big believer of trying to make it work with the track as opposed to stand out too much. So obviously there's a lot of producers that produce content for Splice that are very similar to the music that we use. So I think if you can kind of make some sort of nice blend between that, I'm looking like at the Kashmir pack, for example. there's three Kashmir sample packs at the moment, and they certainly get a bit of a fair use on here. Also, the Vengeance packs, we use some of those in bits and pieces, and it just gels, as opposed to using primarily imaging stuff. It just sounds a bit nicer.
The day and age of a lot of hits and booms and zips and zings and all those sort of traditional, quote unquote, radio imaging effects. We getting away from that? We trying to not do so much of that anymore?
I think so.
I don't know, really. I think sometimes it's got a space for it. Sometimes if you've got a joke that needs it, it's very rare. But
yeah.
I think it's more about how we can, like, it's sound design that you'll use. It's kind of, it needs to be there to help your junctions and your trails and between segs and the radio. But if it's really noticeable, then you're doing it badly, yeah. I think.
Exactly. You know, I think it's fair to say that when you listen to our station, we use sound design subtly. It's more so on Capital than Capital Extra. It's definitely there. It's a strong part. We love our rises. We love our like hits and separators and everything, but we don't go over town. If you listen to the US radio, it's there in your face, but you know, that's just because that's the way it is. But in the UK, we certainly use it more in a polite way. The way I produce is I like, you know, everything to be clean, in the sense that theoretically it's all about the dialogue. That's the most important thing. When you're listening to the station, I want you to know that you're listening to Capital, not a load of noise. And therefore, that's why we use it in that way.
Splice, you brought up Splice, Dan. For anybody that doesn't know what that is, it's not an imaging library. It's a resource that you can go and pull thousands and thousands of pieces of audio from. But do you want to do a little explanation on what that is and why it's good?
Yeah, so it's basically a subscription website, and you can pay for, I think it's £100 or 300 credits a month. And you can go on, there's loads of different packs by loads of different producers. Not all of them are just sound effects. There's like a lot of beats, sort of bits and pieces. You know, it's I think it's more aimed at a music producer, to be honest with you. And you can even download plugins, patches for plugins. So if you're running like Nexus or you're running Silent, then the stuff that you can go and download from there.
A big one there would be Serum. Serum, right? That would be kind of, to me, that's where, that was the jump off Serum. For that.
Yeah, Serum and Massive as well. But it's done on a subscription basis. But because of that, you can go and pick and choose what you download. So actually you haven't got to go and buy a £30 sample pack for you to use five sounds from it. You can go and pick and choose what you want that you know that you'll use. So it's a bit more cost effective than just buying loads of packs.
Excellent. I think people would want to hear about that. Also plugins. But I have written a question about your master bus. As I recall from the last interview I did with the team from Capital, a lot of what went on was, you know, per producer, however they worked was great. But there was a master chain that was in effect, if I'm remembering that correctly. Is that still the case there to keep the glue all together? Is there kind of a uniform master bus that you guys stick to?
Go on, Dan.
Dan's
changed it a few times. He loves to tinker with it.
Oh, he loves to tinker.
I love to tinker. It's actually, the bare bones of it is still the same template that's been on since 2015. So the sound that we've got for the voiceovers in particular has not changed very much, purely because it works. It sounds great the way it is. And you know what? It just, sometimes if it's not broke, don't you know, mess with it. But then, there have been other bits and pieces in the template that we've changed. As far as a master bus is concerned, it's probably the same as what it was back in 2015. We certainly have adapted it. I think I've doubled the amount of delays and different effects in the past 2 years, just so that we're branching out and that we're not using the same delay, until the end of time.
You said template. I don't mean to interrupt, but you said template. Now we're talking about an actual Pro Tools session template that everybody is sticking to. Is that what I'm understanding?
That's it. Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
All right. So who on the team does not like your template? Speak up now.
Oh, we all like the template.
I'm literally staring everyone in the eye right now.
I can't take credit.
We do all like the template.
I think if we all had to make a template from scratch every time we had a promo,
But you know,
look, I can't take credit for the main, you know, processing of it. The whole thing was pre-made before I got here, but the adaptations of it and the slight changes to the actual to some of the tracks, you know, we've done just so that we don't sound stale.
And, you know, it's fair to say as well, in people's, independent people's appraisals and stuff, I've asked them specifically to go and work on their own effect as well. It's something quite important for me that I don't want this just to be one person. This isn't one person that goes and does it. It's not their role. We are a team. It's very important that we all have our input. And some people have already gone away and worked up their own effects channels and stuff that's been incorporated to the template, and other people will next time round.
Yeah.
But you know, to reflect on what you mentioned, you know, of course we have Waves. That's a huge package. That's, you know, bare bones, I think, of any radio imaging producer in the world. But you know, we do have other toys up our sleeves. And you know, one of them that we've invested in to kit the entire team out is everyone's got Sound Toys 5. Yeah. You know, and you know, that's not in the template. So everyone uses their own skills to go away, and how they incorporate that is totally up to them. As long as it's on brand and it sounds hot, then boom, it's on.
Is this might be a bad idea, but is it possible for everybody to jump on and just say a plugin they enjoy using that might not be obvious? In other words, maybe not a Waves plugin, and we've already mentioned Sound Toys, something else that you enjoy using? Or anybody jump in?
There's a plugin, I'm not sure who it's made by, I can't remember, and I only use it rarely, but it's called Effectrix, and it's basically...
Yeah, it's Sugar...
Yeah, Sugar Bites, yeah, that's it. Basically a kind of sequencer plugin, and you can apply it to any piece of audio, and there's a bunch of different presets on there, and obviously you can do your own thing, and there's just a sequence of effects that you can apply to in a pattern, and especially for Extra, I find that if I'm struggling to create something or create a moment, that is definitely something that can get me out of a bit of trouble.
Very, very rhythmic plugin.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. Like Ash said earlier, I guess Extra would be like a rhythmic station in the US, like it's urban. So like having that rhythmic element to it is really helpful.
Yeah, something similar that I use is called something called Glitch Bitch. I haven't really heard anybody else mention this.
Yeah, I saw that recently.
But I know there are other stations, I think like Radio X use it for their distorted kind of glitchy Radio X. And it, you know, you can either use it in the sense by literally just pushing the button ad hoc and getting the effect, or you can use it as a bit of a step sequencer and you can fire it by, you know, by using MIDI, for example. And that's really, really fun. I think I used it in a brand new intro on Capital Extra for Freaky Friday, and it just did a lot of the work, not just on the music track, but also on the vocal. And it sounded really cool.
Yeah, that's cool. Somebody brought that up to me recently and I didn't get a chance to check it out yet, but it's on sale right now. 25%
yeah,
off. I think it's £40.
Buy it,
55
Dan gets
bucks.
Commission.
Yeah.
But
also it's by the...
Dan Hill 20.
Yeah, but I think it's... Exactly. I think he's made by the same people that make the Vengeance packs and Nexus as
yes.
well, I believe. So actually, it's
yeah.
it's a sturdy
Vengeance
piece
sound.
Of software.
Absolutely. That looks cool, and I'm glad you brought that up again. It looked like something radio imaging producers would love to have. It looks like it's made for us.
It is. It's made for
anybody,
us entirely.
Something that I own that has been an absolute lifesaver that everyone comes to me to use, it would be Isotope RX.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
You know, what a beauty. It will clean up anything, you know, removing hiss, pops, clicks, anything really. It's in, it's
removing reverb.
Yeah, exactly.
With I just got 7, but that's crazy though how it removes reverb. Yeah. Like that's insane.
Yeah, it's a beautiful tool, especially, you know, these Jingle Bell balls and summertime balls that we put on. As you can imagine, you know, through 7 hours of live show, we get some incredible drops. It serves us for the year. You know, it's brilliant. We don't have to buy many in. We don't use any services because we, you know, we have all the artists come in. We make all our own. Unfortunately, sometimes, obviously, the audio quality is not going to be perfect. And you bring out RX and boom, it's good to go. It's pretty bloody good.
Yeah. Anybody else got something you want to jump in with?
I just feel like I'm an advocate for Sound Toys. I feel like I use in everything I make.
Yeah.
And I don't, I'm yet to think I don't have enough in that at the moment. I think we've had it for what, like a year?
Yeah.
Mm.
And every project I have, you can come up, like even if you're using Filter Freak in there, you can come up with a different rhythm when you go into like, when you can edit the rhythm it comes up with, or even just like basics, like using like Alter Boy with a delay on the formant, like tiny tricks like that. Like it's, I think with Waves and with Sound Toys, if you can't make a good imaging product out of that, then you can't make it.
That's true. You know, Sound Toys gets brought up often. It definitely gets brought up often here. But that is another one that more than maybe any other bundle, radio imaging producers would get maximum value out of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because so many of their plugins are just like made for us.
And there's just so many possibilities. You know? Like you can do something with one plugin one day and do something different the next day. And it literally is the complete opposite effect that you had before that.
The only thing I would say is it's not very plug and play friendly, I would say. I think it needs a lot more input, it needs a lot more understanding to get a good sound out of it. Otherwise it can just sound like a total mess.
But then they have like their little ones. They have like sort of like little micro shifts and then little
well there's only two or three parameters you can play with.
Yeah, and it's like his three knobs to play with. Yeah. And then you just and then you've got a basic product. If you want to dive into a if you want to use a little Echo Boy Junior, use that for like the three settings it has. But then if you want to dive in further to something complex, then you go to Echo Boy and then you've got just like days of options.
But as well, you know what? They've got the effects racks part of it that comes into that, which allows you to go through their everything there. So you could have a filter freak going into an Alter Boy or you know, you can just stack it up like a rack.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Setup, and then you can end up creating something just by you go, oh well, what can I add there? And you know, you can crunch it with what's it called?
Decapitator.
That's
the
one.
That's the one.
So yeah, it just gives you it's amazing. Go and buy it.
Let me throw this out, and anybody jump in. When you've got a project going and you break out effect rack or something, do you find yourself starting with a preset and then working from there, or do you like to basically take it from its default setting and then build your own?
I think generally I start with a preset. I think like if you can find the preset that does it for you straight away, then that's a time saver.
Yeah, and there's no shame in that either.
Yeah.
I feel like
no shame.
No, okay, absolutely not.
Maybe
that's what they're there for.
There's no shame in radio. I think maybe if you were like a connoisseur of music who's recording an album, you know, and you want to make this your own special delay that you made for this song, then maybe you'd want to do it that way, but...
That's the wrong attitude, Sam.
But I think more often than not, you end up...
It depends how much...
Well, Dan.
Sorry. It depends how much time you've got up your sleeve as well. Yeah. If you if you've got time to go and make something from scratch, then amazing. But when you're working with so many different stations and you have so many different deadlines to hit, do you know what? Sometimes you need something like that quick. Yeah. That's gonna sound great.
Let me switch gears again. And again, I'm going to kind of like watch you, Ashley, on the screen here to give me a, hey, shut the hell up, let's move type of a deal. But the team building that might happen there. So we're really switching gears hard here. Exercises, events you all get together for at work or outside of work. I enjoyed some pints in Leicester Square, for example, when I was there. But do you have any scheduled things that you guys all just do on your own
absolutely.
Away from the building?
Twice a week we go for a big cycle ride.
Shut up.
No. We have a weekly team meeting. We're constantly on communication. Like obviously, you know, the majority of us are in studios, we're hidden away. It's a very strong thing for me that everyone is social. Some are more than others, some are starting to get more sociable. But yeah, of course, you know, it's something that's really important. So as I mentioned, we talk all day long on work chat, and it's just constant banter, really. As well as that, you know, the Capitol floor, it's not just us. We are so integrated with the rest of the people at Capitol. We've got a pub, as you mentioned, just across the road. You can find people there every day. And you know,
some more than others.
Yeah, and you know, we're constantly, you know, for lunch and that, we'll go out with each other, you know, for lunch. We might go out and grab a pizza or go to the local supermarket or whatnot. In terms of drinks and stuff like that, we go out for birthdays, we go out for drinks. It's a Christmas party tomorrow. Capitol throw quite a few drinks and stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, you know, it's definitely something. We're about to do an escape room, which will be pretty awesome.
Oh, really?
In terms of team building.
Yeah.
So yes, I think we do.
We don't get out the hiring a new team.
it's quite nice because the station manager will, you know, he'll often throw drinks, and when we get good radar results, they'll, you know, hire out a pub, room in a pub or something, and we'll have some food and some drinks, and that's quite a nice sort of reward for all the hard work, because you don't. those moments where you get to like actually like celebrate what you've done and reflect on it, like those moments are quite rare. So when they happen, it's a really nice thing.
Yeah.
Anybody else want to chime in on that? But before
I'd say it's a very tight knit team. We all know each other pretty well. Like we choose to hang out with each other sometimes outside of work when we don't have to, you know, we spend our lunches together. Like it's a good way to keep the work chat going, but also just become stronger as a team and know each other better so we can learn our behaviors better, personalities better. So we just, overall, we're just a better, well-gelled team.
It reflects well in a working environment as well. So, you know, like John was saying earlier, we can go and talk to someone, you know, just go into their studio so easily to talk about, oh, I really liked when you did this, or, oh, can I have some advice, or, oh, there's this script that needs doing. And, you know, having a social team where we're open that we can do that makes it so much easier.
And I think coming from other stations, when I came here, the actual imaging side and the production side of things is a lot more praised, and people understand that this department is a huge part of the, you know, the grander scheme of things. And I think in a lot of radio stations that gets lost, and, you know, I'm not going to point fingers anywhere, but it was really refreshing to come here and actually, you know, the imaging department on a national radio station is recognised day to day and people appreciate it. I mean, you know, that's how I've seen it from here, and it's a great thing.
I mean, as far as I know, I think it's the biggest team of, you know, audio producers for a radio station.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we still hold that.
Yeah, so...
Whoop, whoop, whoop! We're looking for two more, so if any audio producers out there
secretly
are looking for a job...
Secretly, this is a big ad.
Please email me.
I'm on a boat. Oh, is that right? Hey...
we are looking for two new assistants,
so let's not let that slip by. There's definitely people listening that'll be like, wait what, there's a, so where do they send their info to?
ashley.bard@capitalfm.com will do.
Nice, excellent. I'll have them mail you tea bags.
Yeah, hey, that's my trick. What are you doing? Yeah.
That should lock
some
it in.
Earl Greys,
that's
please.
How you do
some
it.
Some Earl Greys.
Yeah, you may as well select your preferred flavor. Okay, let me drop this one on you. We were having so much fun, so let me have each of you say something nice about your own selves, if I can. Hopefully, this is a good question. I was thinking about, you know, USPs in the business world. Everybody wants some kind of a unique selling proposition, but each of you probably have one as well. So go ahead and put all your humbleness aside, and I'd love it if each of you could tell me one thing that you bring to the table that may be better than everybody else.
Ooh. Oh, that one's going to like things.
No.
So now, who goes first? Oh, yeah, there we go. Let's make Sam go.
Did Ashley mention that one of the jobs that's going to come up is actually Sam's? Yeah. I'm joking.
And at that point, I'm going to pull down his microphone.
I would only reference one thing that I kind of helped organize earlier this year and last year, which was all our drops. And basically, we previously had all our drops from all different artists and from live gigs just in one big folder, but we've organized them and rearranged them into different categories, whether it be hellos, goodbyes, and excitement kind of drops, or motivating drops. Here he goes. We've got all these different different categories and subcategories, and, you know, I think I know the drops near enough as well as anyone on this team, but probably a little bit better because I've organized them all, so...
A couple of your voices are mixing together in my head, but also go ahead and reintroduce yourselves here too. I figure at this point,
it's me, Sam,
the Iron Imager.
We all sound the same.
So Sam did the drops, and then Ashley, I think, played a sound on him. Was that you, Ashley?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Okay,
I'm at the hot seat. I've got them all.
Yeah. All right, who's next? And just say your name again for anybody who may get the voices mixed up.
Go on, Luke.
Luke.
On cue.
I think I'll be very honest and say I'm definitely not one of the best imaging producers here.
I can't say that, mate.
I think it's true. That's the reason why I'm an assistant. And, you know, it's a very relatively new career in radio. I think
what I would say I'm good at is organization. I think if I'm put to a task, I know what I need to do to get it done, and you know, I can tackle two or three things at the same time. And I'd say I'm fair. Looking at Ash, I said I don't think, you know, I've really given a major problem in terms of missing a deadline or something like that. And I think that's something that is.
I think you should say how versatile you are.
Multi-skilled, man.
Multi-skilled.
That is true, actually.
You can do. Luke could do the imaging for a show, produce it, and host the bloody thing as well.
And drive the desk.
Yeah.
To be fair, like, we're all, anything outside of imaging, we're all, I'm a bit of a, wow. If it comes to running the desk in the studio, I've got no idea what I'm doing. I don't know how it works. As in, like, running a clock in a show, I don't know what it's doing, but I think Luke has that over anyone.
Yeah, and it's worth bringing up, you know, that Luke also runs the desk for the biggest UK chart show. He mans the desk, he tech ops it, you know, and that is no small achievement.
That's how I actually, going back earlier, my first role here was to tech up on a show. So first thing I did when I came in was learn the desk, and that's sort of the role I've done the most here, and got into doing the chart show. And then it was only from there that I then got onto the imaging team. So really that's sort of the thing I started doing.
Hey, Luke, you can speak to this. I've always said that we wouldn't say manage the desk. We would say board op here. But board oping is one of the fastest, best ways to really get a feel for the way a station should flow.
Yeah, I think I've got an understanding of the way something should sound. You know, if someone came and said, "Oh, can you make this?" It'd be like, "Okay, well, yeah." From a presenter's point of view, you know, having run the desk, having worked with the presenters in the studio, they'd want it like this. You know, need to be a quick, snappy thing here, or they'd want something where it can tail off like that. And yeah, I think definitely. And also my understanding of the system that we use, Genesis, I think it's quite high because of that. You know, I could work my way around it and know what it needs to look like and sound like.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. Hey, I'll call you guys out now. Dan, what do you bring into the table that nobody else is?
I think quite a few of us can do it, but my strength, well, I learned to play the piano from the age of six. So I have, you know, a lot of musical ability in, you know, in... Yeah. Burned into the back of my head. So small things, and I never actually learned how to play sight read, sorry. I play by ear. So for me, I know we've all got mixed in key on our computers, but I tend to not use that, and I tend to go by ear with that a lot. And so I suppose like harmonic mixing is probably more sort of my forte. And then also there's a few bits and pieces on the station that I've made. So like the news bed for Capital and Capital Extra I've made from scratch. You know, and then even small things like the Sonic logo for the Jingle Bell Ball, you know, these are things that I've kind of took from my experience of you know, learning to play music, producing a bit of like, you know, dance music in the past. And then this is what I'm kind of bringing it to, I suppose. But there are other guys on the team who can do that as well. I suppose that's just probably my USP, really.
Yeah, I'm just trying to start fights with you guys, so you just said you can do it better.
Oh, it's
so
going to come. Yeah, it's brewing. It's brewing, baby.
I didn't say better.
I'm actually off next week, so I'm concerned that when Dan's back, I won't be there to, like, you know, steady the fight.
I didn't say better, though, but I've had the opportunity to, so there you go.
Yeah, excellent. Chris, I don't think we've hit you yet, right? Chris Longman?
I'm going to go out on a whim here and say that I'm probably not the most organised on the team. I think Ashley Bard will nod. But I think when it comes down to the crux of it, I can probably throw out a promo the quickest, maybe bar Ashley Bard.
Maybe. Chris Longman claims he's the best at branded intros. That's what he wants to say.
No, that's what he wants to say. I didn't know that. 18 months ago, I did say that. But, but in that time, Sam Wickens has won an award. Luke Pryor is coming. Like, Luke's got this Without Me brand intro by Halsey. It's incredible. Dan Hill's, like, the man. I don't think that anymore. But I think when it comes to making a promo, I think, like, I'm quite structured when it comes to making a promo. So when it comes down to it, you're like, I had to make a promo today, and I was like racing to get to this podcast, and it was on because I would put myself up against the time. It annoys Ed Rummins because does the S&P, he does the branded content for us, and he often chases me the most for a promo, and then it'll be like, well, you've made it within deadline. I didn't think it wasn't meant to be made before deadline because you didn't start it until quite late. So I'm quite unorganized, but then I think under pressure, I think I can do quite a lot in a short amount of time.
That's a huge skill, though. I mean, in this industry, it's definitely a huge skill.
Yeah, but if I did that at 9 o'clock in the morning, it would be great, but I don't.
He's too busy having one of 85 teas the other day.
Let's see here. Ed Rummins, we haven't hit you yet, right?
Yeah, sure. I mean, there's been a lot of emphasis on, you know, like, how Sam Wickens is the current Iron Imager champion. what's sort of got unmentioned currently, like so far, is the fact that I'm the reigning champion of producer of the month.
Yeah. Oh, he won it! Yeah.
Which is a more coveted prize than the belt.
Oh wow! Wait a minute, that's a shot. But also, you guys have a producer of the month there, and I didn't know until now.
Yeah, we do that.
Oh man! Hey, congrats, Ed.
Thank you.
Biggest thing of all. Yeah,
just something to sort of like push us forward. Yeah, but no, I mean, I know I've done a lot of imaging, like, you know, spent a lot of time in the business. At the moment, Chris touched on it, I'm looking after the S&P account, and that's sort of a more of a focus on, you know, the commercial side of the business. Obviously, you know, we are a commercial radio station, so we do a lot of sponsorships and promotions.
Hey, Ed, can I interrupt real quick? You're the guy that makes the money, let's be honest. You're the one who gets
everything. I wish I made some for myself.
No, yeah, not for you, not for yourself, but you get everybody paid. Yeah.
So, yeah, like a lot of that is, you know, keeping clients happy. There are a lot of big, you know, brands that come to us that want to work with us because of how many listeners we reach.
And because of Ed.
You know, for instance, eBay. You know, Vodafone, of what we've worked with at some time, Ball, Coca-Cola, who sponsor Jingle Bell Ball. And, you know, these are all national, global brands even,
right,
you know,
right,
that want to work with us. So it's a lot of, keeping them happy and also keeping the team happy as well, because clients, they sometimes like to throw their weight around. You know, they want certain things and you sort of have to manage them, you know, and be realistic with them about what they can expect and what they're going to get, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Jonathan Young. I think I haven't hit you yet, Jonathan.
No, no. Right? Well, if we're all going to throw out, like, you know, titles like Iron Imager and Producer of the Month.
Oh, God, what have you got?
I think I've been Producer of the Month 3 or 4 times.
Oh. I think he does have it the most.
Yeah, he does.
Chucking that out there.
Oh, yeah, wow.
I think because I'm the newest member.
No, Lucas.
Is that... No, well, no, because you all knew Luke before I came here.
As an official full-time part of the team, I'm the newest member.
Yeah.
Yes, I've been at Global longer than
that. Yeah. So yeah, it's kind of hard. It's hard integrating into a team that already kind of knows each other and works with each other and that. I think the only thing that I've brought is like my outside expertise from other places and kind of a sense of diplomacy, where my studio is quite shut off from everyone else, and I feel like a lot of people come there to just talk about stuff. And, you know, either get stuff off their chest or want to, talk about plugins and stuff like that. I don't know. I'm looking at everyone now and seeing if that's a thing. It's kind of like a break, you know, and I'm kind of just the placid person who just sits there and just nods and says, yeah.
Well, can I push in on this one? And Dan here, by the way. I think, just had to answer that. I think... Actually, John, one of John's strengths in particular is totally having a different approach to it, but being very cool about it. If I think your demeanor is probably one of the most coolest, you're the most zen-like out of a lot of people on the team. So if we were to come with you with a last minute thing, you go, right, yeah, okay.
Yeah,
and that's it.
That.
Yeah, whereas, you are very calm.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I was trying to get scarily, out.
Scarily chilled out.
Yeah.
And the willingness to help as well. You know, like if there's anything, if anyone's under pressure or needs to hand over something, John will be there.
He's just overall a nice guy.
Yeah. All right. Hey, I we've learned a lot, but I know the most award-winning and nicest, right? Was that wait, Jonathan? That was both of you, right? You
yeah.
won it the most.
He wins everything.
And the nicest guy. And the wait, the newest or the second newest?
In terms of being on the team, I'm the second, yeah. like as full time. But being at Global, right. I'm yeah. the newest. So I've only been
That's
here
right.
for. Well, it'll be 2 years in
April.
April, yeah.
It's weird that I know that.
Yeah, yeah, you no. came out with that quicker than I did.
BFFs.
Oh yeah, I love John. Yeah, I love it.
It's just because he likes food.
Now, Ashley.
Yeah.
You know, you're the boss, so I don't know if you want to say how much better you are at than everyone at something, but
tell us how
you
great
can
you
if you want.
Tell us how great you
yeah,
are.
What do you bring to the I table, mean, Ashley?
It's going
to
be hard
what
for me
is it
say
you
this.
Say?
I'm not big-headed or anything, yeah, but yeah, I'm the best. So. No, I would say for me, it's dealing with multiple things on my plate, you know, my desk, and dealing with stress. You know, I'm pulled all over the company, not just Capital and Capital Extra. And as well as doing that, I still produce myself every day. I get campaigns from Ed. He's, you know, he'll schedule me commercial stuff. I'll have imaging. But as well as that, obviously, I've got to keep one-to-ones going. I do bi-weekly one-to-ones with everyone, keep the team morale up, make sure everyone's yeah. happy, checking with everyone. And then, like I said, you know, I get dragged left, right, center for all the meetings, everything that's coming up, things that are potential. Can we turn this around in time? And basically work out how we're going to achieve that. So, yeah, I think for me, it would be, you know, dealing with lots of things at the same time and handling stress.
Yeah.
I think is what's good with Ash is like, he's never like too big to do anything. Like he'll still get involved in tags. Like he still does travel and weather tags, you know, and he's not like, oh, I'm too important to do that. He'll still get stuck into like the small things and because they're all important and he recognizes.
What I wanted to hear is, you know, I've become a bit of a, I'm going to say, soccer fan over the last few years. But is everybody generally a fan of, you know, football
yeah.
there?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
No.
Well, I think there's probably 3-4 of us, maybe. Yeah.
Are you all a fan of the same team?
No.
Me and you support Liverpool.
This is the first I've heard that Ed supports Liverpool.
Yeah, I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Support.
Yeah.
I don't know who cares, but you know, I just thought it'd be fun. I've got a team of guys from the UK where again, soccer is pretty big. Anyway, my last question is to give a small piece of advice is, you know, and let's hone this in since you are looking for two people, you know, you're looking to hire two people there. A small piece of advice to anybody that wants a gig at Capital and also who's your favorite football team. I'll call you out. In fact, I'll just go top to bottom in the order that I have it here. So, Jonathan, we'll start with you.
Well, I don't follow football, so I'm just going to go with my home team, Gillingham.
Yes.
Come on, Gillingham.
Go on, the Jills. Jills.
The home of the shouting men, apparently.
and nice guys.
I'd say, like, the biggest advice is find someone who you aspire to be like. Maybe if you're into production and you want to get into imaging and stuff like that, you know, find, you know, SoundCloud's got so many people out there. Go and listen to what is out there and decide who you want to be and what you want to produce, because CHR might not be for everyone. You might want to, you know, do classic FM or something like that, or something a bit softer. I think it's about finding your sound, who you want to be, and just kind of listening and playing around with Pro Tools, Adobe, whatever you're on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ed, Rummins.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think you've just got to show your willing and passion, and you've got to get that practice and experience, and because that demonstrates that. And I'd also say, yeah, never try to like replicate someone's sound, because you're probably not going to be able to do it, you know. Take inspiration from them, but, you know, like trying to copy exactly is going to be, it's quite difficult. So I think what John said about finding your own sound is quite important.
When you're trying to get a job, is there a line that you should know between being persistent and being a stalker?
teabag.
You know, how do you know that line? Where's the line?
It depends. It depends.
I mean, it worked.
Yeah, it worked.
It did.
Cool. Well, wait, you got a favorite football team you want to shout out
yeah.
for?
Oh, LFC. LFC, Liverpool. Liverpool.
Okay.
When Ed talks, he likes to repeat everything.
Yeah, I think you got that four times, right?
Yeah. It's Liverpool, by the way.
Cool. Dan Hill.
I don't support football or soccer, but I will say my hometown team of Telford AFC, that very famous club.
Did you have to Google that, Dan?
Tell.
No, I used to live next to the stadium, so I used to hear them every Saturday or Sunday. Yeah.
And all the four supporters.
All four supporters.
Give us a chant, Dan.
There could be four of them in Wembley and they'd be the loudest. I think my advice is, look, Rome isn't built in a day. So, I think when I first came onto this team, I thought that maybe I kind of knew a lot. I wasn't big-headed. I don't think that's probably the right way to put it, but I kind of felt like I'd done a lot previously. Just be open, I suppose. Just be open to the fact that it's going to be different. And also, you know, show a bit of vulnerability, I suppose. You can't always be the hard man and the big man that's going to know absolutely everything and want to do this, that, and the other. You need to show that you're going to be able to be moldable and craftable to the sound of Capital if you want to come to Capital, and that you're not going to be, you know, look how great I am with this massive beat match mix thing or whatever. You need to be able to show that you can be versatile to Capital. And that goes through writing as well, not just producing stuff on Pro Tools. It needs to be in writing style.
That's cool. That's a good one. Sam, besides winning an Iron Imager, which I'm sure would help, besides that, what's your advice to get a gig at Capital?
Just kind of echo what Dan said there, like just absorb everything that you can. And I'm really lucky that I actually didn't do radio before, because then when I came in, everything that I was taught was the only way I knew. So they could mold me.
You were a clean slate.
Yeah, they could mold me into exactly what they wanted me to be. And I'd say, you know, my skill set is a percentage of everybody here that I've learned something from. You know, everybody on the team has contributed to what I know. And I'm grateful for that. So I'd say just absorb everything that you can and try your best to take on everything that's thrown at you. And like Dan said as well, if you're show some vulnerability and that you're a bit human and that, you know, you can't do everything at once and that it is a process, then that helps. You know, you don't want to be someone who thinks they can take on the world when they don't even know what radio imaging is, which I didn't know what it was. So
so that's interesting. Yeah. Not knowing what radio imaging is not a factor.
Yeah, I seriously had no idea. Doesn't matter. I would listen to radio every day and I thought maybe the presenters just like played a voiceover or something. I literally had no idea how it worked.
Awesome. But just to add on that though, like when I invited Sam into a chat, like on his letter, you can tell, you know, everyone can speak to someone and your immediate opinion of them, you know, you create that opinion and you know whether they've got it or they haven't, or they're an interesting personality. There was something about his letter. I knew that he didn't understand radio. I knew that he probably had actually zero idea apart from tuning it on the car and bobbing to a song. But there was words that he used that triggered me, and I knew that he could probably be transformed into it. I invited him in for a chat. I knew that he didn't know anything, therefore I couldn't provide him any money. But what I did say to him is, look, I will offer you an internship of, I think it was 2 days a week.
Yeah.
And straight away, the guy said, I want to do more than two. I'll come in every day. You know, and we don't want free labor. You know, that's not what it's about. But what he showed was the willing. He showed that actually, do you know what? I'm gaining so much out of this by learning that I will actually up the days that you've asked for by three and turn it into a full week, you know?
The reason I did that is because you said to me the maximum internship you can offer me is 3 months. So I thought if I've only got 3 months, I might as well be there every day, because there was no guarantee of a job afterwards. So I thought I might as well be there and learn what I can.
You know, and then to be fair to him, he in some ways like reminded me of me when I was a kid. He was sat with everyone, gluing to everyone, probably annoying everyone. What was that? How did you do that? What did you do there? What did you do that? How did you do that? Go back. How did you do that? You know, and without blowing smoke up his ass too much, you know, he won the Iron Imager. The assistant won the Iron Imager.
And it's funny because sometimes you might think, people out there listening might think, oh, I'm just going to be annoying. They're going to be annoyed with me. But actually, people in our shoes tend to like to show what we do.
No, I agree with that, I think, but you know, I'd be fair to say that you can politely tell people to back down as well.
I absolutely love showing people how to do Genesis Collection.
That's Ed's speciality.
Luke, the other young-ish one there, Luke Pryor.
Firstly, come on, you Gunners. Arsenal for life.
there we go.
Yeah, Ryan, you didn't ask me what team I support, mate.
Oh, mate.
Oh, no.
Wait, Sam, no, you didn't say it?
West Ham fan till I die, mate.
West Ham all right. All the way. Hey.
I'm forever blind.
I've only not heard of two teams so far. Sadly, I've only heard of three of the five teams so far. all right, Luke, what do you got?
I'd say work hard. I think you're only gonna get back what you give, and I think it sort of very much shows. I mean, we can use a football analogy again. You've got someone who's naturally great at football. Messi, and then you've got who's, you know, the best player in the world, and then you've got the other best player in the world, Ronaldo, Cristiano Ronaldo, who's worked for it. He's not that naturally gifted at that role, but he's, you know, he's working every day, working so hard to be the best. And I think that's the two ways that you can get somewhere in life, is either actually be really naturally talented, and of course you still work at it, but then the other end of the spectrum is working hard for it and making sure that you do achieve that. So yeah, just simple, work hard.
Yeah, awesome. Chris Longman, team?
Liverpool Football Club.
Whoa, we got two, yeah. Two for Liverpool.
Yeah, man.
Oh, boy.
I mean, Ed's a bit of a tourist fan, but... Yeah, top of the league, baby!
Yeah. And then what do you got for advice? How are they getting on the team with you?
I think if you are applying a job at Capital or any radio station, but realistically Capital, I think... You've got to know the brand before you know. I think if you're a terrible producer and you know the brand and you show willing to learn how to be a producer, you stand an all right shot at getting here, maybe. I think if you have absolutely no idea for good content and how the radio station should sound and who the competitors are, then you could be an amazing producer, but you could spend an hour on something that we just won't use on the radio. And it'd be wasted effort. So I think know the brand, be personable, and learn the competition. And I think that's probably how I got a job here. Like understanding where Capital fit within UK radio. If you don't know that, then you could end up making something that's way too edgy to be on Capital, or something that's totally off brand. And if you don't know that and you don't know the presenter lineup, you don't know where it all fits, then I think you'll get it wrong.
Excellent. We'll round it out here. First of all, I want to say what my USP for this was. I think I gave everybody a pretty equal amount of time on this show. I was really worried about that. Does everybody feel like they got equal time?
Yeah.
Anybody feel left out?
No.
Yeah, okay, good. I win on that regard. Ashley, since, you know, you are going to be pretty integral in hiring the next... people there, give me a piece of advice for people that want a gig with you.
So I'm gonna give two. My first one is less is more. This is a massive one for me. A few people around this table have been a victim of this, is when they try and make something sound too good without realizing that it's just a mess, in the sense that there's not one or two things that stick out. For example, you can make a promo, you've done so many tricks, it sounds amazing in your head. You've got this, you've got that, wow, it's amazing. But then when someone else listens to it, who's not been listening to it for the last 30 minutes or an hour, it's just a big cloud of mess. And I'll say, right, this is awesome, this part's good, clean the rest and just make it, you know, voice on, bed, theoretically. And then immediately, 9 times out of 10, that person will go, wow, actually, yeah, it really makes the other bits pop. So that's certainly one thing for me. And that's something that I'm really proud about for the team. You know, when I listen around to other stations and stuff, like, I think we are one of the best at making sure that everything is clean and consistent and the clarity really is there. My other thing is going to be... have an understanding and know what you're doing. You know, if anyone walked through this building with just a
an idea, you know, can use Pro Tools, knows the shortcuts, can edit it, don't have to make an amazing promo or a branded intro, but has the understanding, you're already going to be a long way up that potential hiring list. I'm more impressed with someone who has skills than a certificate to say they got a grade at the university. I really couldn't give a damn. For me, it's you walking through that door and on that next day, you're doing something, whether it be something as simple as cutting up VO, I'd rather that, you know? Good for you for getting a certificate and you should be proud of yourself. Well done. But at the end of the day, you're here to do a job, not wave a certificate.
Yeah. That's awesome. I'll leave real quick any room here for any final thoughts. Anybody, anything jump into anyone's head that you got to get out there?
Show your creativity, because like Chris has said, you can be the best producer and that, but if you haven't got an idea or you can't form an idea or turn something into a promo or a top of hour or anything and you don't know what to do with it, then you're just going to be sat in front of a computer screen thinking like with nothing. So the creativity side of things, I think, overshadows the I can do Pro Tools with my eyes closed.
Yeah, if you're not naturally creative, I would say choose another career. it's gonna be hard for you to do it if you're not a naturally creative person, whether that's, you know, with music or just ideas or like scripting or whatever it may be. Like, you have to have that element in you that allows you to explore something and make something different out of it.
Yeah, that's great. Hey, guys, thanks a lot. This has been amazing. What a great show to round out the year. And I just want to thank Ashley one more time for putting so much effort into helping me get this done.
You're very welcome.
So Jonathan Young, Ed Rummins, Dan Hill, Sam Wickens, Luke Pryor, Chris Longman, and Ashley Bard, the team at Capital and Capital Extra. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you, mate.
Thanks, man. Ryan.
Cheers. Woo!
Cheers, Ryan.
Visit ryandreen.com to subscribe, contact the show, and listen to every episode. Please rate and review the Producers Podcast on iTunes or on your favorite podcast app.
The Producers Podcast with Ryan Dreen.